Okay, everybody, welcome on back here. Welcome on back here to the Sunday School Hour. It sure is a blessing to see all of you who are able to make it here today. Let's go ahead and get started now. If you may do me a favor, church, and go ahead and turn your Bible to the book of Galatians chapter 3. For the Sunday School Hour, we're going to try our best to finish up on the topic from our last Sunday study concerning the faith of Abraham. And then for the Sunday service, what I'm going to do is talk about the faith of Christ. We're going to have a good study concerning the Bible doctrine of the faith of Christ. We're going to go through a lot of awesome scriptures. And so I want to focus more on that as the New Testament presents to us that sinners are saved by grace when they put their faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then it is Christ's faith that completely satisfies the wrath of God and the requirements of God's laws for each sinner. And so when they put their faith in Christ, Christ's faith is what justify them. Christ's knowledge is what justify them. And it's by the faith of Christ that we now are to live by, operate off of, and the Holy Spirit giving us strength to do so. So I want to invest more on that topic for the Sunday service. But now I want to finish up concerning, even as Abraham believed, concerning the faith of Abraham and how the New Testament Christian is saved by grace through faith, like Abraham, like every soul, as we were studying from our Sundays ago. So if you can do me a favor, turn your Bibles with me to Galatians 3, and we'll open up with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you now for the word of God. Thank you for the members that came back to church, God, faithfully here for the Sunday School Hour. Would you please meet with us? Remove me out of your way, Father. And if there be anything in my heart, God, that's not right, I want to confess now, Father, you forgive me of any sins, God, and wash me by the blood of Jesus Christ. Fill me with your Holy Spirit now, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's finish up now concerning the faith of Abraham. Go back now with me to Galatians chapter number 3. Let's read once again, starting from verse number 1. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 1. And if you're wondering why I'm putting on my cool blue light filter glasses, it's to offshoot the hair that's a little crazy this morning, right? So that's pretty much it. And then they have my church clothes ready at the cleaner. So I told the lady, you're going to have to call my pastor because my church clothes aren't ready. And she didn't really understand the joke. So anyways, that's all right. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit, that's talking about the Holy Spirit, by the works of the law. So if you guys can imagine, going back now, not just the Ten Commandments, but literally all of God's law, entirely Old Testament commands, doctrines for the nation of Israel, or by the hearing of faith. Did they become born again Christians because they got themselves circumcised and started honoring God's Sabbath, going to the temple, sacrifices, and all that as a faithful follower of Judaism concerning God's laws for the nation of Israel? Or did they become born again by faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? So, after they got born again and saved by faith, they received the Holy Spirit through faith, are they going to continue to grow now as a Christian by the works of the law or by the faith of Christ and the doctrines of the New Testament, the Kingdom of God doctrine? Verse number 4, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He, therefore, that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as. So remember, guys, I left you with that from Sundays ago before we went on our mission trip. We went through some scripture, and I showed you from Romans chapter 4. I showed you from other portions of scripture how the Holy Spirit teaches Christians, even as Abraham as the pattern, even as King David as the pattern, when they believed in the word of God by faith, God responded in justifying them. God responded in justifying their soul. So God, that ministers the Spirit to sinners, does he do it? And does he fully deliver salvation for you now concerning Christ? Because obviously we're talking about now from the moment that Christ was manifest in the flesh and the church, if you will, that we are now operating underneath, if you will, concerning his gospel. Is God the Father saving sinners by the works of the law or simply by faith? And now he is going to answer that question, even as Abraham believed God. So now, yes, it is by faith alone. It is by faith alone that these Jews in the land of Gaul, or these Gentiles in the land of Gaul, receive the Holy Spirit just like Abraham did thousands of years ago, receive the justification by God's word when he believed it. The Bible says, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It's very important because we're talking about receiving the declaration that God can declare me a sinner righteous. When God can declare you a sinner righteous, but by what means and how? Faith. Now, in what content? Because again, what Abraham believed is not the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We understand how to rightly divide the Bible. We know that it's still the same means. It's faith. But the content in which Abraham put his faith in is clearly not the same. But nevertheless, it is the means. It's faith. So now, declared righteous. That is a right standing before God the Father, whereby his laws will not condemn you, a sinner. Once again, it is your standing before God the Father, whereby his laws would not condemn you, a sinner, because you've been declared righteous. So he says here, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Do me a favor now, church, let's go ahead and now turn our Bibles to John chapter number 8. John chapter 8. For those of you tuning in and out, I just want to remind you, what are we talking about for the Sunday school hour? I just want to finish off discussing here the faith of Abraham. And I'd appreciate if you can pray for me this morning. Woke up super early, not feeling really good. My belly is rumbling and took some probiotics, did my best. So I'm doing my best, sweating a little bit back here, but I'm going to keep trying my best. Amen. If my body's not dying and if I'm not dying, I can make it to church. Amen. That's not a problem. All right. Now look at John chapter 8. Let's go now to verse number 31. What are we talking about? We are just discussing here as the faith of Abraham. That is the topic for the Sunday school hour. And concerning as the faith of Abraham, we know that we are declared righteous by faith. And essentially, that is what we are believing now concerning how God dealt with Abraham, King David, every saint of old is faith alone. John chapter 8, verse number 30. John 8, verse number 30. And by the way, if you guys didn't already check out the booth there, there's some delicious champurrados, delicious. Thank you, Sister Joaquina. Verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. So far, so good. When Jesus would teach and people believe, that is a good thing. It's always good when you hear the Bible and you believe. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue on my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Side nugget, who's a disciple? Those who continue in his word. It's not just sufficient to simply believe the words of Christ if you're not going to continue in the words of Christ. That's free. Let's keep going. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. So what are they appealing to? We are descendants physically of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all that Old Testament that God Almighty Jehovah gave to that one man's seed. We are of that man's seed. Who are you, Jesus of Nazareth, born of fornication, because that's what they're going to accuse, the son of the carpenter? Who are you to tell us that we're not right with Jehovah? Don't you know who we are? We are Jews. We are descendants of that man way back there. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? He says, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. So what were the Jews in bondage to then? Not just physical Gentiles, not just physical foreign armies that God dealt with them concerning him, them breaking the laws. He would bring a foreign army to take them under captivity and judge them and bring them out of their land. We saw from the Old Testament pattern that whenever they humbled themselves and called back on God for forgiveness, he would put them back in the land, remember? But from this bondage to a different foreign invading, if you will, force called sin, that's not going to be as easy as just having physically freed them from Roman chains. You can't remove this, if you will, this bondage to sin just because you're no longer under captivity at Nebuchadnezzar's palace or in Caesar's palace. What am I saying? They are under bondage to this force called sin, that nature that was passed upon all men from the first man called Adam. Jesus Christ, as God manifest in the flesh, is trying to bring this to their attention. That's what they're blinded on. That's what they're not failing to recognize because they are being self-righteous. We are right with God because of our works. No, you're not. You're in bondage to sin. And the servant, Jesus said, abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now, what are we discussing? From the bondage of sin, that power of sin. I know that ye are Abraham's seed. Of course, Jesus knows who he's talking to. He is talking to the descendants of Abraham, the physical stock of Abraham's physical seed. He's talking to Israelites. But you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. How about that? I speak that which I've seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. So what is Jesus Christ going back to? Genesis chapter 12 through chapter 15. God supernaturally revealed himself to one man. And when he gave that one man a word, a revelation, a promise, Abraham responded to God in faith, believing that God would do what he said he would do. The Jews have God standing right before them. It's the same God, Jesus Christ, the great I am. He is standing before these Jews, and he is telling them, when I came before Abraham, you are not doing the works of your father, Abraham, of whom you say is your father. But when God came to him and gave him the word of God, you're not his children, because he didn't seek to disobey in unbelief. He believed. So now, keep that with you right there, John 8. Go back to your base text, Galatians chapter 3. And then we'll go to Romans 4. So look there. Keep that in your base text. Keep your flyer there, John 8. Now look up here, Galatians 3. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith. So what did Jesus tell those Jews in John 8? My word hath no place in you. Where is that, church? In the heart. Because they did not want to believe in God. Clearly, in that context. Abraham, he believed in God. And those who follow in Abraham's steps, believing the word when it's presented, God said, those are the children of Abraham. Are you following now? So then, look at verse number 9, Galatians 3. Then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Okay, now let's go back to Romans 4. Keep your place in John 8, go Romans 4. And what are we talking about, guys? Again, for those of you tuning in and out, we are just quickly finishing up this topic of the faith of Abraham. Romans 4, look at verse 1. The scripture says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it, that's his faith, was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. The Holy Spirit reminds you also of King David. But let's keep going. Keep going now here to verse number 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. That's the point. Galatians 3. Jews, you're justified by this law, not of works, not of Moses' commands, because that cannot justify you, but through this law called the law of faith, the righteousness which comes of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, notice now, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. I'm telling you, Christian, you gotta trust the scriptures. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, that is, the nation of Israel in Hebrews, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And by the way, he is writing to the church at Rome, where there is a mixture of Gentiles and Jews. So, as it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, Abraham believed God, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. This is talking about Abraham now, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. What do you call that? The word. So go back now real quick for those of you who were here Friday. Two immutable things. One, the attribute of God that it is impossible for him to lie. And number two, the promise, the oath. When God gave him that word, he gave him a promise. Abraham believed what God spoke to him. That's what we're talking about. It's simple. God shows up. He gives you his word. He just wants you to trust him that he's able to do what he can, because you can't give him anything in return. All right. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. He was an old guy. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, she was an old gal. He staggered not at the promise of God through what? Unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You know how easy it is for sinners to get saved right now? If you trust with all your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead, you are persuaded that God will forgive you. If you trust that man whom you can't see, if you put your faith in this God whom you can see, you know what God is able to perform? Giving you everlasting life, forgiving you your sins. That's all. Because you're trusting him at his word. That's how easy salvation is. So now, with that explanation the Spirit of God gives you, look at verse 12. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we and have works of the law. Is that what it says? No. If we believe and are baptized. No. If we believe and have a church membership. If you believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Belief. So now go back to John 8. You have your flyer there. You have your Bible open. John 8. Let's go back now. It's real sad to see that these Hebrews were standing before Jehovah. And God said to them, you don't even have my word in you. But they had the Ten Commandments, but they don't have it in them. But they had the law, but they don't have it in them. They have the writing of the prophets, but they don't have it in them. They have the temple right over there in Jerusalem. But they don't have that relationship with the God that they're supposed to meet in the temple right here, where it matters most. Look at now. He said there, I know that ye Abraham's seed, John 8:37, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. So now he's taking it a step further. I know you're physically Abraham's seed. I know physically your great-great-granddaddy in the flesh is Abraham of Chaldea, you know, that Gentile. But I'm telling you now that I have my father, that's Jehovah. And I'm just telling you, I am proclaiming to you what I've seen with my father, that's God the Father. But now he's telling them that they have a different father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me. A man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. You know, that's a little smack to the Lord's face, because that's what everybody thought Christ was. He was a child born out of wedlock. We have one father, even God. That's what they're saying. We believe in Jehovah. We believe in the right God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But here's God standing right in their face. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. But don't they have the law? They do. Don't they have the prophets? Of course. Don't they have the temple? Yeah, they got the scribes, they got the Pharisees, they got the Sadducees, they got all the doctors that can read that Bible and give you an exposition message from it. But they don't have a relationship with God. They don't have faith, bottom line. Look at what Jesus said. He's God. Ye are of your father, the devil. Wow. Go back earlier now. Verse number 34. Whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. That's why their father is the devil. Because now there is a spiritual adoption which takes place for humans that are born into this world. Satan will become the daddy of all humans who eventually come to a cognitive conscience awareness that there is a God, and they know right from wrong. And when they sin in their heart against that God-given knowledge that they've been given, automatically Satan becomes their spiritual father And Satan has the ability and the capacity to lead his children and guide them however they want. And obviously for every non-Christian on the planet right now, that is, they can do whatever they want, whatever feels right, do it. They can get as drunk as they want to get. They can party as much as they want to party. They can have as much sex as they want to have sex. They can have religious statues and altars and shrines and fastings, and they can have prayers that make them look like they're still religious, but they're not free on the inside. Look at what he said. You are of your father, the devil. In verse number 44, and the lusts of your father ye will do. Why? Because they are in bondage to sin on the inside. Jesus said that he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. So the devil knew what the truth was. He didn't want to continue. He rebelled because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, now listen, ye believe me not. That is what we call the microcosm. That is like the big picture, the meta-narrative of everything that God has been dealing with humanity. God proclaims truth to man. Man does not want to believe. And as the result of man rejecting God's word in unbelief, Daddy Satan, spiritual principality up there, the unseen daddy of us all back in those days, right? We continue to do whatever we want to do. The lusts of our heart that is guided by Daddy Satan. That's what they were doing out there. Jesus said, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Think about Abraham. Think about faith. Ye therefore hear them not because ye are not of God. Now, I can't make that statement because I'm not God. But Jesus Christ can. Why? Because he was God, manifest in the flesh. He could look to you in your eyes. He could see the state of your heart, and you're standing before the Father. You're not of God. Why? Because you don't believe God's word. You don't have faith in his word. You don't believe in him. You don't love him. Then answered the Jews and said unto them, him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye dishonor me. You can't have a relationship with God the Father if you don't have a relationship with God the Son. That's why the doctrine of the Trinity is biblical. It's necessary. Oneness apostolic churches are out of line. You got to make it very clear. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham? See, they keep going back to that man as if just being a Jew is sufficient with God. No, they need Jesus Christ. They need to be born again and saved, which is dead. The prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he's your God. Yet ye have not known him. Wow. He's talking to Jews that went to synagogue their whole life, circumcised the eighth day. Some of them were Pharisees and scribes. Some of them they graduated from the local Hebrew school and they got their degree and they got their title of teacher. And Jesus, who's God in the flesh, says, you don't even know him. But they had the word of God. They had the prophets. But they don't know God, the God of those scriptures, because they don't love him. They're in unbelief, bottom line. You know what Jesus said? But I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. Woo! You know what Jesus said? You're liars. Because you're telling everybody out there that you believe in this God and that you know this God, but you don't. You don't know him. I know him. And I keep it saying, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. You know what Jesus just said? He's in the flesh. He is a man. He is a real man because he said, a man that's telling the truth. He is a real man talking to real men right there, having a conversation in Israel. But he just said that Abraham, who's dead, saw me a long, long time ago. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. He's God. Brother Josh reminded us of that not too long ago. So what did they do? They took up stones and they wanted to stone him. So here we have it. Both Jew and Gentile are in bondage to what? Anybody? He that committeth is a servant of sin. One more time. He that committeth is a servant of. So both Jew and Gentile are in bondage to sin. Aside from earthly bondage to earthly powers, only Jesus Christ can deliver them from the bondage of sin inwardly. The Lord affirmed their physical lineage back to Abraham, but not their spiritual lineage. Their spiritual lineage can only be established by the faith of Abraham, had they only followed in his footsteps. They rebutted Christ by attacking the legitimacy of his birth, but also they attacked him because of how they viewed their race as superior to anyone. They were racist, these Jews. They were prejudiced. And they were contrasting themselves with the Samaritans. These Jews accused Jesus of being born of Gentile blood with the accusation of the Samaritan attack. And they added insult. They belittled Christ. But the Lord declared to them, I am. That's the same Lord, Jehovah, who appeared to Abraham back in Genesis 12 through 15. What's the point? What did God expect of Israel and Gentiles? Look all the way back there to Abraham's faith. That is the only way. That's the key. So almost done for the Sunday school. So what does God require, friend? Faith. And since Christ's coming, faith in him particularly. Let's just quickly close. We're going to go back now to Acts chapter 15, and we'll come to a close. Let's just read our last scriptures. Acts 15, we're just finishing up the topic of the faith of Abraham and how we as sinners, doesn't matter if you're Mexicano, doesn't matter if you're black, white, green, doesn't matter if you're a Jew, we are now in the spiritual lineage of the law of righteousness that comes by faith, not of works. And we are now children and heirs of Abraham because we likewise have put our faith in the word when it was presented to us. Almost done, Acts 15. I'm just going to paraphrase it for the sake of time. I only have a few minutes. We had some Jews that wanted to discuss and argue with Paul and Barnabas that salvation was by grace through faith. They wanted to also incorporate works of the law. If you can see that in verse number 1. Paul and Barnabas, they were arguing with them. They were debating. They were discussing. And they said, you know what, guys? Go back down to Jerusalem. Go ahead and talk to everybody else. So they did. And so they went back down to Jerusalem, verse number 6. And there had been much disputing. Guys, I wish I was there to see the apostles getting into it with the scriptures. That would have been awesome right there. Peter rose up and he said here in verse 7, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and be circumcised and believe. Is that what Peter said? He said, believe. God chose me to go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that if they just put their faith alone, that would be sufficient. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. That he's still referring to the Jews now in the audience. And put no difference between us and them. What does it say now, church, verse 9? Purifying their hearts by? So what does he tell the church in Galatia? Oh, you foolish Galatians. Foolish, foolish, foolish. You started off by faith. Who told you that you needed to go back to the bondage of the law that could not make you saved? Who told you that you need to be circumcised? You need to have some kind of attire and some kind of wear and the clothing and all this? God purifies sinners' hearts by faith. Now, therefore, here's Peter, a Jew, talking to Jewish apostles and elders. Why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our... Who are the fathers? Who are the fathers? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and his seed. There's King David. He's a father. There's all those old kings. This is Israel's patriarchy. They were not able to bear the yoke of the law. That's what Peter's saying here. And neither were they, verse number 10. But we, he's talking to the apostolic council. You got Paul, you got James, you got John. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. They all kept quiet. James, verse 13, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Go back to Acts 10, Cornelius, a Gentile. And to this agreed the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David. So Friday night discipleship, what are we talking about? God is going to keep his promise to Israel, the nation, the restoration. Keep going. Known unto God are all his works, verse 8, from the beginning of the world. Wherefore, here's my sentence, James says, that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. So then that's what they agreed in. Look at verse 22. They all agreed. Jewish apostles, Paul was there, Peter was there, James and John, all the gang. We're all saved by faith through grace. That law couldn't save our forefathers. We're all saved by grace through faith. Abraham, King David, all them guys. Okay, so them Gentiles that get saved, those Africans over there, those Europeans over there, those Asians over there, those Ephesians over there, what do we tell them if this law is not going to be the means by which we're going to try to keep them in bondage? Well, here we get some New Testament doctrine. All right, guys, you all just got saved from Corinth. Don't keep worshiping idols. Start there, all right? All right, you guys over there in Ephesus, you guys kept having sex like crazy. How about you guys stop? Don't start. Don't keep having sex now. You need to get married. And what else does it say there about sacrificing and things, idols? Yeah, how about you guys stop doing that? And then we're going to keep writing you further instruction as Jesus commands us, the apostles, to help you, the church, continue to grow in the faith. Are you guys following with me now? So as we close, what are we saying here? Children of Abraham, faith. There is a law of righteousness. It's all throughout your Old Testament. Faith, 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 faith. Sinner, you and I are heirs of faith. That's all the way back there from Abraham, all the way. And now, more perfectly, because we have Jesus Christ, we are a part of the body called the church. So then, if they agreed, the Apostolic Council, 2,000 years later, the reason why we have so many denominations is because they are failing to just let the Bible be their authority to teach them the truth. That's why we are Bible believers. That's why we're not Seventh-day Adventists. That's why we're not Jehovah's Witnesses. That's why we're not Roman Catholics who try to be Jews with robes or other Christians who put robes on, making themselves spiritual. No, no. We're sinners who turn to God, trust in Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace through faith. We are going to grow then in that faith by the faith of who? Christ in me. All right? Father, thank you for the Sunday school. Help us now to get ready for the service. We thank you now, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, church, 15-minute break. Let's get some good champurrado. Amen. The Lord bless. Oh, and also, church, friendly reminder, today is the Lord's